Yesterday's prophecies, today's headlines. This is the Hal Lindsey Report. And now, Hal Lindsey.
Good evening and welcome to this edition of the Hal Lindsey Report. Armageddon looms over the world. It's never far from the thoughts of even unbelievers. In the last 5 years, there have been several significant freeway disruptions given the title Carmageddon. A major snow event in Canada came to be called Snowmageddon. A recent episode of the CBS TV series Unlimited carried the title Armageddon. We see a similar awareness with the word apocalypse. Despite low Bible literacy, fascination with Armageddon continues to grow. People seem to sense that something huge and awful will soon befall the planet, but few know any specifics. The Bible, on the other hand, gives a great deal of specific information about both the War of Armageddon and the events surrounding it. Daniel chapter 11 gives us one of the most compelling accounts. It came to Daniel from an angelic being, almost certainly the angel Gabriel. He told Daniel of a time of pseudo-peace for Israel. The Roman Antichrist, known in the Bible as the Beast, will seem to perform a geopolitical miracle for the ages, bringing peace to the Middle East. He will forge a treaty between Europe with Arab nations, the Palestinians, and Israel. A second Antichrist, known in the Bible as the False Prophet, will be leading Israel at that time. When this era of pseudo-peace breaks out, walls will come down, bloodshed will cease, commerce will flow, and the elites will be making money hand over fist. Then, nearly 3.5 years after the treaty's signing, peace will be shattered. Daniel 11, verse 40 says, "At the time of the end, the king of the south will collide with him," that is, the Jewish false prophet, "and the king of the north will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships. And he, the king of the north, will enter countries, overflow them, and pass through." The words "at the end time" told Daniel that these were not events to take place during his lifetime, but in the far future, close to the time of the Messiah's reign. I believe that that time is coming upon us right now. At that time, armies led by the king of the south and the king of the north will attack Israel. These kings represent leaders of two huge coalitions of nations. The king of the south represents the nations south of Israel. In Daniel's day, there wasn't much there. But if you look to Israel's south today, you see an array of wealth and power unlike anything known before. Over the last 65 years, the United States and the West have sent vast sums of money to the Arab states in exchange for oil. Famous American oil tycoon T. Boone Pickens calls it the biggest transfer of wealth in history. The world has never seen extravagance on a level like the Arab oil states today. Burj Khalifa in Dubai is the tallest building in the world by far, but it won't be for long. The Jeddah Tower, now under construction in Saudi Arabia, will reach over 1 kilometer into the sky, almost 3 times as high as the Empire State Building. But with all their wealth, 2 big problems today plague the Arab nations. Those problems are known as Iran or Persia and ISIS. The U.S. has drawn back from its role as world peacekeeper. With looming threats and no one else to depend on, these oil-rich nations have begun to turn their vast wealth toward building massive arsenals and modern armies. They will soon be armed to the teeth. The King of the South's coalition will also include Egypt. Because of the ISIS threat and the Iranian nuclear deal, these nations are now turning their wealth into weapons. They don't know it, but they're getting ready for the greatest conflict in human history. The Bible says they will collide, or make war with Israel. Simultaneously, the king of the north will storm against him, that is, the false prophet leading Israel, with chariots, with horsemen, and many ships. Ezekiel 38, verses 2 through 6, gives even more details on the northern coalition. It will be led by Russia and a strong army of Shiite Muslims under Iran. It will control Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon fighters as well. It also lists a place called Gomer, which covers a region across Eastern Europe, possibly as far west as Germany. Togarma represents an area centered and around Turkey and Armenia. In the list, most Bibles say Ethiopia and Libya, but the actual words in the original are Cush and Put. Cush stands for Black Africans. In other words, the nations it represents will come from sub-Saharan Africa. Put refers to the northern African people. Other than Egypt, Cush and Put cover most of the continent of Africa. Since most of the African Muslims are the Sunni denomination, some 85% of the 1.6 billion Muslims, they will probably be a part of the King of the South fighting against the King of the North. I believe the battles over who will join the coalition of Sunnis or Shiites are raging across Africa and the Middle East right now. Radical Islam in Africa is trying to displace democratically elected Christian governments with Muslim theocracies. All the armies of the King of the South and most of the King of the North's armed forces are Muslim nations. I believe that will be part of the pattern in Africa as well. It fits the pattern of how Muslim nations have treated Israel from the beginning. You may be wondering why the Northern Coalition includes nations, not just Israel's north, but also to its southwest and east. We say the Northern Coalition is a matter of convenience. The Bible refers to it as a coalition led by the King of the North. That means the leader will come from the north, not that all the nations in his coalition will come from the north. When the Bible says the king of the north will storm against him with chariots and with horsemen, it will mean that this will be a well-equipped, highly mechanized army. The Israelis called their tanks Merkava, which is Hebrew for chariot. The chariot of today would be a battle tank. Horses indicate a highly mobile army. When it says the king of the north will come against Israel with many ships, it means that this will also be an amphibious attack. Sunni and Shiite Muslims have been at war for centuries. It's easy to see that the king of the south leads a Sunni Muslim coalition, but the king of the north will be led both Shiite and Sunni nations working together. Also, the King of the North and the King of the South working in cooperation means the Sunnis and Shiites cooperating. How do you get ancient enemies to cooperate? The answer is obvious. Give them an enemy they hate even more than they hate each other. In other words, Israel. Their mutual hatred for Israel trumps even their hatred for each other. Where in the world, right now, do you see a large-scale cooperation between Sunnis and Shiites? Only in Gaza, the West Bank, and in the support of terrorist groups whose goal is to destroy Israel. The mutual hatred of Jews is the only thing in the world that makes them willing to work together. So the king of the north will enter countries, overflow them, and pass through. He will also enter the beautiful land, and many countries will fall. But these will be rescued out of his hand: Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon. The beautiful land means Israel. Edom and Moab and the foremost of the sons of Ammon are found in the modern country of Jordan. These areas will be spared. That fits perfectly with the warning Jesus gave Israel in Matthew chapter 24. When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. There's only one natural fortress in the region that could contain and support a large number of war refugees, and that's the lost city of Petra. It lies in the mountains of Edom and Moab of Jordan. God will cause this army to spare that area in order to save the Israelis who are willing to trust Christ's warning. Gabriel tells Daniel that the king of the north will stretch out his hand against other countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape. There's a big double cross here. So the king of the north comes into and through Israel. He bypasses the nation of Jordan. He sweeps down through the Sinai and takes over Egypt. Notice what just happened. Egypt is a member of the king of the south's coalition. Until this point, north and south will be working together. But Russia will double-cross the Sunni Muslim Egypt and attack. The land of Egypt will not escape, but he will gain control over the hidden treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. The Roman Antichrist covenant with the false prophet will include a clause protecting Israel from invasion. But the king of the north's armies will move like lightning, like a blitzkrieg. The Antichrist will be caught flat-footed. These armies will move all the way into North Africa before a Sunni Muslim counterattack can be mounted. But there will be a counterattack. One of the most important studies I've ever done is this audio series on the book of Daniel. In these 19 CDs, I go paragraph by paragraph, in some cases verse by verse, through the book of the ancient prophet. I provide an in-depth historical background on Daniel and show how it relates to the prophecies that would be precisely fulfilled later. And I detail how all of these predictions are fitting exactly into the scenario that he prophesied would happen just before the return of Christ. Each set of 19 audio CDs comes in an attractive and convenient album. You can purchase your copy of this study of the book of Daniel for just $79.99, which includes shipping and handling. Simply call toll-free 1-888-RAPTURE or visit HalLindsey.com. You can also send check or money order to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74147. Order your Daniel CD set today. Now let us begin where we just left off. The armies of the king of the north have just swept through the beautiful land and conquered Egypt. Look at the next verse. But rumors from the east and from the north will disturb him, that is the king of the north, and he will go forth with great wrath to destroy and annihilate many. Now, the original Hebrew here says the many, and that's the way it should be translated because the many refers to the Jews. After the king of the north turns against Egypt and plunders her riches, he will make Egypt a temporary headquarters. While there, he will hear disturbing rumors from the east and the north. If you look north from Egypt, you see Europe, which will then be led by the beast, the Antichrist of Rome. Revelation chapter 15, verses 12 through 14 says, the armies of the world are going to be gathered under the leadership of this man. Other disturbing rumors, which we would call the intelligence reports, satellite photos, etc., will come from the east. The east refers to any point east of the Euphrates River all the way to the Orient. Revelation chapter 9 says the eastern army will number 200 million. That has to involve China with its world-leading population of 1.4 billion people. But India now has a population of 1.2 billion. it could also be involved. Surprisingly, so could Japan. How could ancient enemies like Japan and China decide to work together? In the business world, mergers beget mergers. If two companies merge to make a bigger company, others feel at a disadvantage. So they too find partners with which to merge. They want to be big enough to compete and also to ward off hostile takeovers. It works the same way with countries. In the end times, fear of large confederacies will turn former enemies into allies. Even with their great production capacities, China, Japan, and other Oriental nations share a fundamental weakness. They need more energy than they can produce. When it looks like other regional coalitions are trying to take control of the Middle East oil, the kings of the East will begin to gather their forces in order to secure their own energy needs. While in Egypt, the king of the North will hear about the mobilization of these massive armies in Europe and the Orient. Then he will again move against Israel. He will go forth with great wrath to destroy and annihilate the many. Once again, the many refers to the Jews. So, to prepare for battle with the Antichrist and the kings of the East, the king of the North will retreat out of Egypt back into Israel. He seems to sense his impending doom. In one last act of defiance against God, he goes on a demonic killing spree, creating a bloodbath in Israel as he goes forth with great wrath to destroy and annihilate the many. Daniel 11:45 says, "And he will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion," that is his royal headquarters, "between the seas and the beautiful holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him." Between the seas means between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. The beautiful holy mountain could describe only one place on earth to a Hebrew prophet: Mount Moriah, also known as the Temple Mount. He will establish his headquarters on the Temple Mount in Old Jerusalem. There he will take his stand. He figures that neither Sunnis or Shiites would nuke the sacred Temple Mount. But that won't last. Daniel says, "Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him." We have the Chinese-led Eastern Army of 200 million crossing the Euphrates into the Middle East. And we have the combined forces of the rest of the world under the command of the Western leader, the Antichrist of Rome, coming in from the Northwest, or Europe in the West. There are on the mountains of Israel, Ezekiel 39 says, the king of the North's army will be utterly destroyed, and the land from which they came will be turned into a lake of fire. This is a vivid description of nuclear missile launched against the Russian homeland and other enemies. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouth. So the Arab powers are gone. The Russian powers are gone. That leaves the armies of the Antichrist facing 200 million strong army of the Orient. Their war will be against one another, but also against the small nation of Israel. It will be the deadliest, most destructive conflict in history, and it will be centered in Israel at Megiddo, which gives the name Armageddon. While all of this is going on, something amazing happens to the Jewish people. Now, at the time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. And by the way, Zechariah says that a third of all of those Jews who are alive will believe, and they will be protected by the Lord. And it says that they will be like the people will be like God, and the house of David will be like God, and each individual who is feeble will be like David. Archangel Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, that is Daniel's people Israel, will arise. Michael will arise to defend every Israelite whose name is in the book. That is the third who believe. If it hadn't have been for Michael, there wouldn't be a Jew left on the face of the earth now. Through the centuries, he made sure that there was always a remnant. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 describes this as a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said of the same time period, there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall be. There have been the merest glimpses of Armageddon-like violence in the world history. Dresden, Nagasaki, Hiroshima are a few. The real thing will be awful beyond words. The Bible depicts the number of deaths during that time as like nothing else ever before. The book of Revelation indicates how great that carnage will be. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, it says that a quarter of the world's population will suddenly die during the first 3.5 years of tribulation. And in the second half of the 3.5 years of tribulation, it says after it names there will be a 200 million man army from the east, that they will cause a death of a third of the rest of the population to die through something that looks like nuclear power. And in Revelation chapter 16, there'll be all kinds of carnage taken during that time. The world system will fall apart in almost every way, starting with a totalitarian rule of the Antichrist and the false prophet. War will rage with all the fury modern technology makes possible. Never before in history could humanity do to itself what the Bible describes in the last 3.5 years before Christ returns. But now, it can do just that.
To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.
Horrible as they are, these events will lead to Israel's ultimate deliverance. The believing remnant of the Jews will receive all that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their children. As we see the geopolitical alignment of the world fall into the pattern predicted by the Old Testament prophets, it stands as irrefutable evidence that God is real, that His word is true. It's a wonder to behold, a reminder that God always keeps His word. The book of Revelation gives details of the horrors of these days. Jesus warns about them. Old Testament prophets and New Testament writers give their warnings. They warn us because there's something we can do to avoid the coming day of the tribulation. We can join those who will escape. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. These words are comforting because they offer hope. You don't have to be around when the awful things occur. The church will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You've heard about the rapture. Well, this is it. As the old hymn Rock of Ages declares, we will rise to worlds unknown. We will join a celebration thousands of years in the making. We will see Jesus face to face in the truest sense of the word. It is awesome. It's also comforting and full of hope. It should give every disciple of Jesus a sense of urgency in how we live, what we say, and in the way and frequency with which we present Jesus to others, either directly or through support of ministries that tell the world of its soon coming King. The rapture of the church is the blessed hope of the church. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Now is the time when you need to make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Jesus tells us that He died on the cross and paid for every sin you will commit, both in the past, present, and the future, with His own blood. But you need to take a definite decision with the Lord on this. You have to tell Him, Lord, I ask You to forgive my sins through Your own blood. Right now, I receive the gift of pardon that You provide for me. And right now, I ask You to come into my life and to make me what You want to be. I want You to use my life, what's left of it, in Your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's it for tonight, folks. God willing, I'll see you next week.
You've been watching the Hal Lindsey Report. To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.